This episode is brought to you by Dietz and Watson.
Molly, it's time we have the talk about hot dogs.
Okay. Well, hey, I'm looking for a hot dog that's the real deal, Matthew.
Like a classic hot dog that, like, when you think of, like, the platonic ideal of a hot dog, I recommend Dietz and Watson's Dietz dogs.
Ah, well, I've heard that they're handcrafted and made using only Dietz and Watson premium meat.
I can vouch for this because Dietz and Watson sent us a big box of hot dogs and other delights, and wife of the show, Lori, and I had them for dinner last night. We had the classic beef Dietz dogs with toasted buns with sauerkraut and pickled jalapenos and Dietz and Watson ballpark-style yellow mustard.
Do you think you'd recommend Dietz and Watson hot dogs for fried rice?
Oh, yeah. Fried rice with some sliced hot dogs. I'm going to be doing that soon. Wife of the show, Lori, is going to be making the hot dog flour buns from Christina Cho's cookbook, Mooncakes and Milk Bread. Very excited for this.
And I'm especially pleased because Dietz and Watson does things the right way. So this means, like, no additives, no fillers, no artificial flavors, no cutting corners. You can feel good about this stuff.
Dietz and Watson. It's a family thing since 1939.
Shop now at dietzandwatson.com/the right way.
That's Dietz, D-I-E-T-Z, and watson.com/the right way. This episode is brought to you by Ibotta. Did you know you could get paid to shop at your local grocery store? Cash back just for shopping with Ibotta. Ibotta is a free mobile app that pays you cash back for everyday purchases by ditching the coupons and earning cash back the fun and easy way. Find them online at ibotta.com, that's I-B-O-T-T-A.com, or just download the app through your app store. Use the code SPILLED and instantly receive a $10 welcome bonus when you redeem your first rebate within the app.
I'm Molly.
And I'm Matthew.
And this is Spilled Milk, the show where we cook something delicious, eat it all, and you can't have any.
And today we're talking about kale, possibly America's most beloved vegetable. For this kale thing has gone on way longer than I expected.
Seriously. I mean, I remember the first time I saw one of those, like, I heart kale t-shirts or whatever. I was like, Boy, what is up with this? This is going to be a trend, a flash in the pan, as they say.
Yeah, it's going to be a trend in the pan.
And, you know, the truth is there's still kale in my pan. How about yours?
Oh, there was kale in my oven like minutes before you arrived.
Wow. So it seems like kale is here to stay.
Yeah, you could say that.
Unless, kale is like the new spinach.
I don't even know if spinach was ever the spinach. I mean, like... Has there ever been a vegetable that was so universally beloved? It's loved by health food people. It's loved by foodie people. I know I should never say that word. It's loved.
What about, like, I feel like beets went through a thing like this. No, nobody ever loved beets this much.
No.
Nobody has ever been loved ever as much as kale. My husband doesn't even love me as much as people love kale.
Right. People massage kale. Like, how often does your husband massage you compared to how often he massages kale?
He massages me more often than kale.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. How often do you massage your spouse as opposed to how often you massage kale?
I'm going
to
say I don't do either of those things very often.
Oh. Oh, well, I'm here to say that as a massage-receiving spouse that you should get your kale game on with your wife.
Okay, I don't know what that means, so I'm going to interpret it as I choose.
Great, okay. So, you know, I think that when we talk about kale, we should clarify that there are multiple different types of kale, just like there are different kinds of lettuce, and they actually have kind of different flavors.
Yes, I was hoping there would be enough multiple different types of kale that I could do an heirloom kale quiz. That did not turn out to be the case.
I see that you did find a kind of cute name for one of them, though. So first there's curly kale, which is kind of like, it is to... non-curly kale as curly parsley is to
Italian parsley.
Leaf parsley. Yeah.
That's great.
It tastes different and it looks
you
different.
You get a 1600 on the SATs.
Thank you. Thanks.
Yeah, the KATs. Thanks. No, the never mind.
No.
So we haven't gotten to the funny name that I found yet, right?
Yeah,
right.
Your
okay,
turn.
So there's red Russian kale, which is, it's kind of a little softer than curly kale, and it's got the, like, reddish tipped leaves kind of. And I learned that's sometimes called ragged jack kale.
That is so
which is
cute.
Is it possible to hear that name and not think about Johnny Depp in the Pirates of Penzance? No, Pirates of the Caribbean.
Well, I have to say it actually made me think of Raggedy Ann, and then I had to be like, was her friend's name Raggedy Jack?
Yes, and they went up a hill, and they fell down, and they turned into dolls.
Perfect.
They fell down, but it was okay because they were dolls.
Great. Perfect. So, wait. I always thought that there was like green curly kale and red curly kale. But you're telling me that the red kind is a different thing?
Okay, here's what I think. So there is red curly kale. I saw some but did not buy any at the store this morning. And that reminds me, there's kale in the fridge that I should bring over
here.
Oh,
yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
I'll go get the kale.
Okay. Well, so while you're doing that, I'm going to remind everybody what the other type of kale is that we are most familiar with. And that's lacinato kale, sometimes also called dinosaur kale or dino kale. Or is it the same thing as like cavolo nero, which is, I guess, like black cabbage or black kale or something? Tuscan kale? Is it sometimes called Tuscan kale?
Oh, Ragged Jack and Black Cabbage would be a good
yes.
superhero team.
Rawr.
Yes, it's sometimes called Tuscan kale, cavolo nero, you know, black cabbage. It's never called that. So yeah, so I put some, this is quite a still life that I've created for us here. It's some kale kind of coming out of bags on the table.
It's really beautiful. So lacinato kale is the kind that has the sort of flat leaves with like bumps on them. And lacinato is the type I buy most often. It was the type that, it was like my gateway kale. I'll put it that way. I feel like it maybe has the most mild flavor, but maybe it's just the one I'm most familiar with.
Well, and I think it's known for having, if not a more tender texture all the time, it's like it doesn't take as much cooking as
yes.
curly kale to get it tender.
Yeah, curly kale, like, you know, sometimes it's almost like collards. Like you really have to cook the crap out of it.
I have just noticed for the reason I'm giggling at that has nothing to do with what Molly is saying. It's that I just noticed I ripped like the elbow of my shirt completely out.
Matthew like Incredible Hulked all over this shirt.
Yeah, I hulked out. I got so mad at what you were saying about kale that I was like, I'm not having this.
You were like, it is not black cabbage.
I'm black cabbage.
Okay, let's just taste this raw kale for the pure joy of it.
Okay, can you pass me some?
Here. So this is the lacinato kale. It tastes really green. I think it tastes quite good. However, it's really an acquired taste. Like, I would say the first half dozen kale salads I had, I was like, what the hell? This is not supposed to be eaten raw.
So let's talk a little about the history of this kale salad thing.
Yeah.
So like raw kale salad, you know, it's become like a permanent part of the landscape, it seems, right?
It has. Do you think that I should take... So, oh, wait, okay. So there's raw kale salad, right? And then people sort of got more specific about it and started calling it massaged kale salad.
Oh, yeah, because people are terrible.
But you don't have to massage kale to make it palatable. Do you think it's like something you have to do if you're making kale salad?
I don't think you have to, but having had it massaged and not massaged, I think it's something you should do probably.
Why don't you massage that leaf there in front of you for a minute?
But aren't you supposed to massage it like with the...
With aromatic oils and gentle music
without
playing?
The oil, look, it's just falling apart and like making my fingers turn green. Like I have some sort of kale gangrene.
Hey, so listen, you and I both supposedly know a lot about biology. Can we speculate on why massaging kale makes it taste different?
Oh, sure. You're like breaking down stuff.
Cool. Like cellulose?
Yeah, like cell walls.
So
I know the answer to this.
Are you letting the flavor like Incredible Hulk out of the kale?
Yes. What's happening to the cell walls of the kale is exactly what happened to my shirt, which is so what makes a vegetable like firm and crunchy in this case kind of chewy is like, you know, plenty of water bulking up those cells, and they've got cell walls, so they're kind of hard cells.
Oh, what is that called, like turgid versus...
It's turgid.
Yeah, the cell walls are the walls turgid?
I don't know. Maybe the whole thing's turgid.
Great. Go on.
I don't know a whole lot about turgidity, but I wanted to say that. So when you massage them, you're, maybe with the aid of some salt or maybe just physical action, you're breaking, letting those cell walls like break open and the juice kind of gooshes out. And that makes it softer.
Oh, so is it just about the texture of it, or is it also about the flavor?
Well, I think it's probably both. I mean, I'm sure there's flavor compounds in those cells, but I mean, you also are probably going to release them with your teeth when you're chewing it.
That's true.
But I mean, when they spill open, like enzymes start getting to work and stuff. Can you tell that we're food scientists?
Welcome. My middle name is Harold McGee. Okay. Anyway, so
Molly
basically,
H.M. Weisenberg.
Most people.
I thought it stood for Her Majesty, but now I know.
Most people, when they make kale salad these days, they massage it, which means they would add like a little bit of the dressing, or do you add all the dressing and then you massage it? Anyway, you need a little bit of some sort of lubricant.
Yeah, definitely. Don't raw dog your kale massage. Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, you add a little bit of oil and you massage it with your fingertips, and the color deepens a little bit.
Yeah.
It gets to be sort of a more velvety kind of deep green, and it gets softer. You'll have much less volume of kale when it's all said and done.
Which do you think is more fun, kale massaging or massaging carrots and daikon for making pickles for banh mi?
Oh, I love massaging carrots and daikon. That's so fun because also you've got that like salt and sugar in there, and you get to feel it dissolve.
Yeah, it gets kind of squeaky.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. So kale salad, what do you think of it?
I was thinking about this before you got here, and I think kale salad is the thing for me more than any other food that I think I don't like it, and then every time I have it, it's great. And like I can't stop eating it.
It's such a cliche, but it is really delicious. It's really delicious. And I think that a lot of the time when we eat salads, the flavor of lettuce just sort of disappears under the dressing.
Yeah.
And in the case of kale, you really still get a lot of flavor, and it's delicious.
And, you know, unlike a lot of foods, it can sit around, and not only does it not get worse. I mean, this is never true of salads.
You like can eat leftover kale salad.
Right. Like, what other leftover salad do you want to eat? I mean, maybe like with a grain or something, but like a lettuce salad, it just turns into like slimy rags. But a kale salad gets better.
So I love, in particular, a kale Caesar. So like making a Caesar dressing, or like even a fake Caesar dressing using like a mayonnaise as a
fake
base.
A fake Caesar is like a emperor with no clothes, right?
That is correct. That's correct. Anyway, making a Caesar salad and tossing kale with that, I think those flavors are delicious together. The anchovy and lemon and garlic with kale, so good. Also, hey, for any of you who might be in Seattle on a weekday around lunchtime, you should go You should go to Il Corvo, which is in Pioneer Square. Don't be daunted by the line. It moves quickly.
Il Corvo is Italian for the kale massager.
It's actually a pasta place. They make handmade pastas. They have different pastas every day. But they also have a kale salad that is always on the menu. And it is really good.
Yeah,
super good.
Lori, the wife that I don't massage sufficiently, she brought home some kale salad just like from a fancy grocery store and said, "You're probably not going to like this." I ate like half of it.
Awesome.
We should give credit.
I hope you gave her a massage afterwards.
Absolutely. Let's say I did.
Okay.
we should give credit to like the founder of what do you call the person who like kicks off a trend? The trend kicker?
Yeah, for sure. Let's call it, or the trend quarterback.
We should give props to the trend quarterback.
It's not a quarterback that kicks the ball. Who the hell kicks?
The kicker?
The kicker.
Okay, the trend kicker. Let's do the wave for the trend kicker. I think this kale salad thing started with Melissa Clark in the New York Times, who I believe was writing about a salad she ate at Franny's restaurant.
That sounds right.
And so this was in 2007, and the headline on the article, which I love, was, "If it sounds bad, it's got to be good."
That is perfect. Melissa Clark, by the way, can I just give a quick shout out to Melissa Clark?
I think we just did, but give another.
But just in general, like, she writes wonderful recipes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, thanks, Melissa Clark. Hey, the other kale thing that we should talk about that is almost as ubiquitous.
Yeah.
Look at me. I speak English. Ubiquitous as kale salad is kale chips. Kale chips have gone nuts. You can even buy them like pre-made in the grocery store now.
You know what I'm going to say? I just thought of this. Kids eat kale chips. Like, parents are like so happy because, like, you know, it's a vegetable their kids will eat. I think kale chips are the new veggie booty. I think your kid is like too young. Like, you missed the veggie booty thing, I think.
Uh-huh.
Is this still a thing?
No. So I had never eaten kale chips until right now.
Wait, what?
Well, because I really love.
Did you just arrive from, like, I don't even know what country wouldn't have kale chips?
Me neither. I mean, hello, earthling.
Oh.
I love kale so much that there's always a part of me that's thought, I'm just going to throw it in a bowl and put some dressing on it. Like, I don't need to roast it.
That part of you thought wrong.
Uh-huh. So did you just sort of eyeball it on the olive oil?
Absolutely.
And what temperature?
350 for like 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. And I found, I think this might be the second time I've made these, actually, because I thought it was the first time. And then I had this deja vu. Do you ever get kale vu?
All the time.
Okay. As with nachos, sometimes like the pieces around the edge cook faster than the ones in the middle. And you do not want a soggy, like half crispy kale chip. That is bad news.
Can I tell you that I'm eating this because I like the saltiness of it, but I don't actually love the flavor. It kind of brings out this like dark green flavor in it that is not my favorite kale flavor.
I like it. I would kind of liken it to, it sort of tastes like ashes, but in a good way.
Yeah, it's very ashy. Why do people like this so much?
I don't know. Again, like I try so hard not to be trendy, and mostly I succeed. But, you know, I'm not going to stop eating these kale chips.
No,
it's going to annoy listeners.
I'm eating them, too, just because they're salty. But I got to say, I'm not going to rush home and make kale chips because it's just this dark kale flavor.
Yeah, I think probably, you know, when this Melissa Clark article ran, I'm sure it must have been like the most emailed article for a time, because like everyone was talking about this kale salad, like it sounds so crazy, raw kale, man.
And wait, did she massage it too?
I think she massaged it.
Okay.
Or at least like let it sit. Maybe we could pull it. We'll link to the article.
Yeah, that's true. If you let it sit, it kind of has the same effect. Like maybe the acid in the salad dressing starts to break down those cell walls or something.
Do you feel the same way I do that like you would love to be a most emailed article, either as the author of it or the subject?
I would love to be the author of it. I don't think I want to be the subject.
I feel like I would be so excited about being a most emailed article that even if it was about like something terrible I did, that I would be okay with that as long as I was most emailed.
You know what they say, Matthew?
There's no bad press.
There's no bad press.
I think they're probably wrong about that. Like if the way I got most emailed was to commit some sort of lurid crime, that's probably
beloved
bad.
Beloved podcast host.
Yes, okay. What did I do?
Let's see.
Find out.
Beloved podcast host goes on rampage and burns down entire field of kale.
There we go. Yeah. Oh, boy. Is there anything I could do that would make America hate me more?
No, nothing.
I mean, maybe, do you think, like, I could get in there just for the thing I said about how, like, I don't give massages very often?
Probably.
Okay.
Probably. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that
I smell scandal.
I'm pretty sure that there is already, like, a sex columnist out there who's listening to this episode and starting to write an article based on it about the importance of massaging your spouse.
I mean, I know there's like massage schools and stuff. Like, can you teach a class on like how to give a good massage?
Me personally?
No, not you personally. I mean, okay, I'm sorry. Yes, and. what would you charge for like a 1 hour lesson? Because, well, here's the thing. Like, I'm imagining like in a massage class, like this could be problematic. Because like, what if
Matthew?
Yes.
You have been married for like the better part of two decades. Put your fingers on your wife's body and move them around.
All right. Can do.
Matthew, can I tell you something?
I would love it if you would tell me something.
I really like my Third Love 24/7 t-shirt bra.
Oh, you mean the sponsor of today's episode?
Yes. And I am not saying this because they are a sponsor of today's episode.
Oh, really? So breaking news.
I am saying this because it is a really comfortable bra and it fits me really well. Who knew?
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. So can I tell you a little bit about it?
I would love to hear more about it.
Since let's be real, I'm not going to show it to you.
Yeah. Life is hard.
Yeah. The cups are made out of memory foam. And I know, I mean, you know, a lot of ladies have some foam in their bras, but like, this is really, newsflash.
Uh-huh. I'm learning so much.
This is really comfortable. It's like really comfortable. It also has this tagless, kind of gently padded hook and eye, so it never digs into your back. I don't know about you, Matthew, but sometimes my bra straps used to slide down my shoulder, and that was really annoying. These don't seem to slide. And best of all, when the strap shows, it's like really pretty. It's pleated.
Nice.
Yeah.
I love a glimpse of a bra strap.
Yeah.
Can I say that?
I do too. I do too.
Okay.
Yeah, I think everybody loves it.
All right, great.
Yeah. So Third Love stands behind their bras so much that they're willing to let our listeners try this bra for free. They've got this free trial offer where all you have to do is pay $1 for shipping. You can wear it for 30 days. You can take the tags off. You can wash it. I mean, you can really take this bra for a test drive.
Awesome.
And if you love it, just keep it. They'll charge your card. If you don't love it, return it. Send it back for free even, and your card won't be charged.
Well, let me ask you one more thing. If people wanted to take advantage of this offer, where would they go?
Well, Matthew, they would go to thirdlove.com/spilledmilk to get started. So what else do we do with kale?
Okay.
I'll answer that question.
Wow, you're a good interview of you.
I really like to braise it.
Me too.
As far as braises go, well, it's kind of, I don't know if you can really call it braising because there's not particularly like a high heat sear thing that happens in the beginning.
Oh, we must have talked about this on the braising episode, whether that's required to call it braising. I think it's not.
Well, anyway, I just braised kale two nights ago.
Whoop-dee-doo for you.
I wrote a few years ago in Bon Appetit about a braised kale that I make and then toss it with spaghetti and then you put a ton of Parmesan on it. And it
sounds most emailed.
It also has 8 cloves of garlic in
it.
It's really, really good. And anyway, it's also surprisingly fast.
Garlic
so I made that.
How?
You have thinly sliced it.
And
You have, okay. In fact. Anyway, so yeah, we'll link to that recipe, braised kale with spaghetti. Delicious.
Okay, here's how I do braised kale most of the time. I will usually do it in the pressure cooker.
It's
funny, like I use my pressure cooker pretty often, but I don't think of myself as a pressure cooker kind of person. I think like using like the kitchen gadgets that you reach for, like tell you a lot about your psychology.
Volumes. Yeah.
You know, I think a pressure cooker person like, you know, sort of keeps all of their rage on the inside.
Yeah.
But as you know, I'm known on the show for my fiery rants and for hulking out and breaking.
You're known for hulking out today. Hey, I think my voice just cracked a little bit.
Well, it's, you know, sitting at a table with the Hulk, like, you know, it would make anyone like have a second puberty.
I don't even know what that
is. Isn't that like, I'm just thinking of this now, but maybe that's what the Hulk is a metaphor for.
Puberty?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right, let's not explore that further because I think it's going to get gross.
Hey, so I'm going to talk about something else I like to do with kale.
Please do. And then let's get back to how I braise kale because I never actually talked about that.
Oh, no. Go ahead then.
So I do it in the pressure cooker. Often I'll throw in some chunks of ham with that. And for me, like what braised kale is all about, like the kale itself, fine, but it's the liquid, the pot liquor.
Oh, the pot liquor. L-I-K-K-E-R.
One of the best spellings of any word ever.
I love that.
That stuff is so good. Like ham or no ham, like that's just some of the most flavorful liquid you will ever produce in your kitchen in a good way. I realize that could sound bad.
Do you use onions, garlic? What do you use for aromatics?
I usually use onions.
Cool.
Plenty of salt. And then I will often serve that on top of a bowl of polenta.
Oh, God, that sounds great.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
It's a favorite dinner around here. I think serving that dinner is worth a couple of massages. I mean, it's like can replace a couple of massages in terms of Q factor.
I'm going to start like measuring things in terms of how many massages they're worth.
We should name that unit though. Like,
it would be like a
rub down. That's a gross word.
You think about that while I talk about my next kale.
What's your next kale?
So this
experience
also falls under the heading, if it sounds bad, it's got to be good.
Okay.
And it is boiled kale.
Oh.
I first read about it in the Zuni Cafe cookbook.
I got to say, that sounds bad.
It does sound bad, doesn't it? And anyway, basically, it is what it sounds like. It has, as I recall, a decent amount of garlic in it. And basically, it's delicious. What can I say? I serve it in like a wide bowl with a fried egg on top and some grated cheese. And it is so good. It is so much more delicious than it sounds.
Ooh.
And it brings out a different flavor in the kale than like braising does.
That's what I was going to ask. Because like, it seems like the drawback of boiling is that like bye-bye pot liquor.
You're not boil. As I recall, it's not with like a tremendous amount of water.
But do you do anything with the water or do you drain it?
I can't remember. I just remember that it's it sounds bad, but it's got to be good.
I agree with that. I just picked up what I thought was a kale chip that I dropped on the table.
It was a massage.
It was that massaged piece of kale from before. I picked it up and it kind of gooshed between my fingers. It was very upsetting.
So, Matthew, I think that there was one other method of kale cookery that you wanted to talk about.
Well, it's something you do. I mean, or at least something that you introduced me to, which is stir-fried kale in fried rice.
That's right. I forgot. Yes, in Delancey, I wrote about sort of our fried rice formula.
The book, not the restaurant.
That is correct. And one of my favorite combinations for fried rice is, let's say that you have had some barbecue or maybe you've roasted a pork shoulder or something.
Okay, let's say I did
that. Let's say you did that and you've got some leftovers.
Let's say I gave a massage.
Let's say. So you've got this leftover delicious pork. You are going to make fried rice with that, some fish sauce, and some kale and other things, like I think a little bit of sesame oil,
yeah.
You know, peanut oil. Anyway, the kale and the pork, especially if it's smoked pork, like kind of like ham.
Yes.
So good with the flavor of rice.
Wow, it's like, that's like the thing I made deconstructed.
Yes, exactly.
With rice instead of polenta. It's practically the same dish, except everything's different.
That's true. Well, I think this has been our kale episode.
I think you're right about that. It's also been our massage episode, apparently.
And our Hulk episode.
And our Hulk episode.
I'd never used the verb like hulking out
until
before,
just now,
and now I'm going to use it a lot.
Oh, I think you should.
I'm thinking that I'm going to start working out a whole lot so that I can hulk out.
Are you going to get ripped? Are you going to blast your core?
Oh, new year, new me.
Okay, I can't wait till next week when you come in with just gigantic biceps
and tatters for clothing.
Exactly, and like, and you just like, I say hello and you just pick me up and throw me, and that's your new greeting.
Oh. Hey, ladies, do you rush when you get home to take off that itchy, uncomfortable bra? Well, Third Love is an exciting new lingerie brand that uses real women's measurements to create better fitting bras. In fact, they have a 100% fit guarantee, and that means that returns and exchanges are always free. Try Third Love's best-selling 24/7 t-shirt bra for free for 30 days. Start your free trial now at thirdlove.com/spilledmilk. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/spilledmilkpodcast, where we will be, I don't know, talking about what you like to do with kale or what we should call our new unit of currency.
That's a good point. You can find us on our website, spilledmilkpodcast.com, where we'll post a beautiful photo of kale sneaking out of some plastic bags, the green plastic organic bags.
Yeah, we will also post links to the recipe for braised kale with pasta, also to boiled kale, which is on my blog.
Okay.
And do you have any recipes for stuff you talked about today?
Well, I will. We'll link to that Melissa Clark column with the kale salad and some kale chips recipe.
Great.
Although you don't really need a recipe for that.
True story, man.
And until next time, thank you for listening to Spilled Milk. And those were our Hulk noises.
I'm Molly Weisenberg.
And I'm Matthew Amster Burton. Let's kale it.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.